Who was the most dominant team in pro football history? The 1972 Miami Dolphins? How about the 1948 Cleveland Browns? They were both undefeated champions of their respective leagues. Or maybe Lombardi's Packers. Or even the 85 Bears. Not so fast. There was a team in mainstream professional football that excelled beyond any of those mentioned above. My name's Darren Hayes, and I'm the author of a book, The World's Greatest Pro Gridiron Team, the 1903 Franklin All-Stars. And I'm proud to say that the Sports History Network is giving away a signed copy of this book to a lucky winner in our latest giveaway, where you can sign up at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways and get your name entered today. Good luck. Today on the podcast, we talk about a sporting goods empire starting out, and a great coach has a setback on his way to legendary status. It's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
How about that for some start-off music? Some great music from the Edinburgh University Fighting Scott Marching Band and their director, Diane Smith, of the band, who sent us that piece and let us use that. We'll play the full song at the end of this program for you to enjoy, because the bands are a big part of football games and the pageantry of it, and we want to make sure we can capture some of that, and hopefully we'll get some more great bands playing during this offseason to you can enjoy some of their music and just get those fight songs in your head, because that is such a great part of going to a college football game. And this is Darren Hayes, by the way, of the pigskindispatch.com, and welcome to the Pig Pen once again, where today we are going to talk about the great day of February 15th in gridiron history. And you may not think there's a lot of history to it, but we do have some great ones, and we're going to get started right now with your football history headlines. And February 15th, 1929, a new sporting goods company is founded, the Rydell Company, founded by John T. Rydell, the high school football coach and athletic director who started making a better, safer football cleats, and then he became a pioneer in athletic safety equipment. According to Rydell's website, John T. created the removable cleat in 1922. Rydell himself is quoted on the website saying, "When we started out, there was no history of the game. In wet weather, players have a foot problem. Leather cleats nailed to the bottom of a shoe just won't cut it. And if the local cobbler is too busy to fix them, then it's sorry, boys." It was this very necessity that prompted Coach Rydell and his action to eventually led to the formation of the company that bears his name. Today, Rydell Sports Equipment is found on almost every gridiron field. Helmets, shoulder pads, and their accessories are designed to keep players safe on the gridiron in this day and age. And we thank them for that. February 15th, 1996. NFL legendary head coach Bill Belichick is fired by the Cleveland Browns franchise. Coach B finished his Browns coaching career with a record of 36-44, and this opened up a gateway to much better opportunities. If you remember, he was with one day with the Jets and then took that job at, I guess it was New England. But, well, we know about that. The rest is history, and with 9 Super Bowls and 6 Super Bowl wins. Pretty successful career for Coach B since he was fired by the Browns. Now, we want to remind you that we have our Football by Numbers series going on, and we're going to take a day off today because we do have some great history of the game to talk about on this day. A lot of birthdays coming up for this February 15th, but we will be back tomorrow, and we are going to have Dan Newman of the Hello Old Sports podcast on the Sports History Network joining us to talk about the legendary number 4s in the NFL throughout the NFL's 101-year history, and it's a great podcast. I hope you are available to join us for it, and if you can't do it tomorrow, do it the next day, because it is a good one. Dan has a great discussion, very knowledgeable about the NFL, and we're looking forward to presenting that for you on the February 16th episode. And we'll have, of course, some subsequent articles on the pigskindispatch.com. And again, if you want to check out all our podcasts, go to the pigskindispatch.com/podcasts, and you can binge listen right there from that. More of that in a little bit. So now let's go to your football history headline, birthdays of this February 15th. And we'll start off with these Hall of Fame birthdays. February 15th, 1903, Midland, Ontario, Canada. The great Southern Cal quarterback of yesteryear, Morley Drury, arrived into this life. The National Football Foundation tells how Morley was a signal caller from the Trojans from 1925 through 1927. Drury's finest season came in 1927. As a senior captain, he used his passing skill set and his legs to carry the Trojans to an 8-1-1 record. The only Southern Cal loss that year was a midseason loss to the powerful Notre Dame Fighting Irish. 7-6 was that final score. At the end of the season, Drury was rewarded with receiving first-team All-American honors. The National Football Foundation selected Morley Drury into entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1954. February 15th, 1920, Lawrence, Massachusetts. Harvard's solid guard Endicott Peabody was born. Peabody was a defensive disruption to any offensive opposition that Harvard faced in the early 1940s. According to the NFF, his finest game may have been the one against Navy in 1941, when he forced one fumble and recovered another, stalling two midshipman scoring threats to preserve a scoreless tie between the two squads. Endicott Peabody was honored with induction to the College Football Hall of Fame in 1973 after the National Football Foundation voters tallied up their votes. February 15th, 1931, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. John Michaels, the stellar guard from the University of Tennessee, gained his born-on date. John was one of the starting guards of the Vols from 1950 through the 1952 seasons, according to the footballfoundation.org website. John was a three-time letter winner, two-time all-conference selection, and in 1952, he was a consensus All-America. That year, he also won the Jacobs Trophy as the best blocker in the Southeastern Conference. John Michaels received the great honor of being selected for inclusion into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1996. February 15th, 1935, Trenton, Tennessee. The quick tackle from Mississippi, Gene Hickerson, arrived into this life. Gene was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 1957 so that Coach Paul Brown could use his quickness as a guard to employ some innovative blocking schemes to open up holes for the great Jim Brown, Leroy Kelly, and Bobby Mitchell. Hickerson was voted as an All-Pro in five consecutive seasons. He played in six Pro Bowl games during his career. In the year 2007, the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Gene Hickerson into their Canton, Ohio museum. February 15th, 1940, Lawrence, Kansas. John Hadle, the outstanding halfback/quarterback that played for the University of Kansas from 1959 to 1961, was born. The NFF's online bio of Hadle recounts that he made a 98-yard interception return against Texas Christian, a 97-yard kickoff return against Syracuse, and a 94-yard punt return against Oklahoma. His punting average for the season, 45.6 yards, led the nation. He played halfback in the 1960 and was voted as an All-American at that position. Then he moved to the quarterback in 1961 and made All-American again from there. John Hadle was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1994 after the National Football Foundation tallied their votes. Another birthday took place February 15th, 1957, Bremerton, Washington. Mark Wilson, who was under center for BYU teams of the late 1970s, celebrates the date of his birth. The National Football Foundation posts that in Mark's first game as a starter, he threw seven touchdown passes in a 63-17 triumph over Colorado State. Later that season, he set an NCAA record at the time by tossing for 571 yards passing against Utah. In 1979, Wilson was a unanimous All-American and named the Player of the Year by the Seattle Touchdown Club and the Miami Touchdown Club. The NFF voters selected Mark Wilson for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1996. Mark enjoyed an 11-year career in the NFL with both the Oakland Raiders and the New England Patriots. February 15th, 1957, High Point, North Carolina. A fleet-footed halfback from North Carolina State, Ted Brown, was born. The NFF tells us that Brown still holds the AC's career records of 4,602 yards rushing and 51 touchdowns. Ted was selected in the 1978 consensus First Team All-America, and he helped lead the NC State team to three straight bowl games in his career. Ted Brown received the great honor of being selected for inclusion into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2013. February 15th, 1960. Born in Houston, Texas, Darryl Green, the speedy ball-hawking cornerback from Texas A&I, was born. Green was able to cover receivers from the line of scrimmage, eliminating the short passes, confident that his speed would allow him to recover on deep patterns for the NFF. Darryl was also a first-team All-American in 1982 and was the most valuable player in the Lone Star Conference. The National Football Foundation selected Darryl Green for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2004. After school, the Washington Redskins used their first-round pick in 1983's NFL draft to choose Darryl to play for the franchise. Green spent his amazing 20-year NFL career all in D.C. and set an NFL record of having the pick in 19 straight seasons in the league. His great foot speed and technique led him to pick off 56 career NFL passes and return six of them for scores, along with 621 yards of returning yardage and 611 punt return yards. Darryl still holds a record for Washington's franchise's longest fumble return for a 78-yard touchdown. He was a four-time All-Pro and played in seven Pro Bowls. In 2008, the Pro Football Hall of Fame gave Darryl Green a much-deserved gold jacket and a bronze bust in Canton. And our final birthday comes from the College Football Hall of Fame, February 15th, 1968, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Major Harris, the West Virginia Mountaineer starting quarterback from 1987 through 1989, arrived in this world. The Football Foundation's website bio on Majors tells of how he was the first player in the history of the NCAA to pass for more than 5,000 yards and use his legs for more than 2,000 collegiate yards in his career. Harris led WVU to an undefeated season and a chance to play Notre Dame for the national championship in the 1988 Fiesta Bowl. Major Harris was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2009 after the National Football Foundation tallied their votes. How is that for some great football history on February 15th? And if you like that, we have some more great stuff tomorrow. As we told you, we're going to be discussing in our series of Football by the Numbers. We're at the jersey number 4 on tomorrow, the February 16th release podcast. And we're going to be talking with Dan Newman, one of the hosts of Hello Old Sports on the Sports History Network. And Dan has got a great bit of information, some great stories to tell about the great number 4s. And we come up with a top list of those great number 4s. So make sure you catch that and listen to it. And as always, you can join us on the Sports History Network. You can see Dan and his brother Andrew on the Hello Old Sports podcast, as well as you can find our podcast there and probably about 15 other podcasts that are just great with and filled with sports history and some really interesting hosts and guests. I think you'll really enjoy the personalities on there. So make sure you check that out, sportshistorynetwork.com. And as always, you can check us out at our home website, pigskindispatch.com, for all the gridiron history, and use that powerful search bar we have that's powered by the Earl to Go website. It's a really great thing, and you can see all of the sports history web pages on there just by doing some search words. So check that out. Now, to end the show, just as we promised, we're going to have Miss Diane Smith and her Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania Fighting Scott Marching Band playing the Fighting Scott theme song, fight song. That's where I went to school, and it brings up some great memories. So just make sure you listen to that as we're on our way out. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network. Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour. How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.